feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Hey, George.
Hi. I'm here. Hello.
No, we were talking a little about stuff we can't say on air, but we're both coming from very tired places this weekend.
Yes, it's and we're also recording this the day before release. So it's, you know, it's a rough week when I don't hear from Danny until like Thursday and be like, so, episode, right?
Yeah, playlist this week, right?
But no, we're holding it together. I think we're a little woozy, but I've taken some antacid and I've drinking some water, and I think we are A-okay. What about you?
I have a bottle of water that is 1.5 liter.
Wow.
It is helping a lot.
This is the trouble, because I always put stickers on all my stuff, and I then block out the... Okay, so it's 75... Or 750 milliliters, I think. Or no, 70. I don't know. I covered it up with a sticker.
Oh, it's Casey Falzone.
My fiance.
Oh, I don't have it up. Bah, 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 bah. We're doing a playlist episode. There's too many windows.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah. You got it.
There's also a great friend of the show, Brandon T. Gorin sticker that just says coffee black. Thank you.
Nice.
I love his stickers. I found a couple of them because I was going through a drawer the other day. Best one by far is the Kirkland logo in the style of Black Flag.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Really good sticker. I get to see him next week because we're doing Wheel.
Oh, nice. And I didn't know.
Come out and support. I'm bringing wireless mics so I don't have to swap between people and I can just have my own mic.
Bring my bear hit.
I have it. It's right over there. Tried. I just moved it because I leave
I'll
it.
I'll just wear that in the crowd the whole time.
Thank you. That's that.
Not even as
that
a character bit. Not even a like just wearing it.
That's just Danny. I think that's called being a furry, Dan.
a less committed furry, I guess.
Just accidentally fell into it. No, I leave it on this seat, and then when I have to come do the show, I move it to Casey's seat because we never work in the office at the same time.
That'd be fun if she was just next to you.
Making sure.
Shut up.
I'm working. So yeah, we're doing a playlist episode today. And while I had a very busy late week this week, I was able to check out Danny and John Trainor's show, Blanketed Covers. It's a great show. Check it out. And they had I originally thought it was like an Easter egg hint, and then you just straight up announced what it was if he guessed it, right? Is that how that works?
I always tell him at the end. We go back and forth. It's like at the end of the episode we just recorded yesterday, he had to like get us to guess what he's giving us for the next week, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. And then this past episode, which you recorded yesterday for the new episode, is the new T-Pain album.
Yes, T-Pain did a covers album, and it is very good.
He's very good. I always loved the clip of someone like heckling him on the internet, and he was like, "You're a no talent hack," and he goes, "Oh, you're right, babe, let's pack it up, can you just hand me that real quick?" And then it's just him parading his awards and then putting them in a garbage can where it's like Grammy.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems to be the best type of famous, where he's still goofy and self-deprecating and kind of self-aware, and it's like, I wish everybody could have a little bit of that.
I mean, I love, what's that guy's name? Louis Capaldi. He's that same level of, like, every time I've seen him post a TikTok or something, usually the comments underneath are like, did you forget you're famous again?
Hey, people are going to see this.
Yeah. Hey, man, stop pulling the pants down of your wax mannequin at Madame Tussauds. Don't pull the pants. Oh, it's down. It's like,
you did it.
There's a whole scene where he like takes the mannequin's pants down to see what kind of genitals they gave him. And it's just a Ken doll down there. And he was like, that's about right. And then the video ends.
Hey, how'd they get that?
So T-Pain, great singer. Surprisingly, if your experience with T-Pain is just like buy you a drink. It is so much more than that. He's a very talented person. Winner of the Masked Singer, as I'm sure Dan knows
that,
very well.
That does come up on the episode. I somehow got two people who have been very unamused by my love of the Masked Singer to be like, I think I get it. I was like, yes, I did it.
It
I can quit.
Back around. I was just watching a late night clip with Jason Sudeikis and Seth Meyers saying that he ironically started talking to his wife doing the sketch that Jason Sudeikis used to do with Kristen Wiig, where they just chew gum and be an asshole.
Were they the douchebags?
Yeah. He now unironically will be like, babe, hey babe. And it's the same thing with T-Pain. You constantly talk about the Masked Singer to a point where now people are like unironically enjoying it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I think you were onto something this whole time. I don't know what it is about the way I like things where people are like, I don't think I am going to agree.
I think you just bring a much needed sincerity to things. You like what you like, and that's a good thing.
And every time I'm right. Paddington, ABBA, Masked Singer, T-Pain. I just keep proving people wrong about doubting me and my taste.
Damn,
but, you know, every I'm, time, they doubt me all over again.
I just think that, you know, there was that week where you, like, were very critical of Israel. And
I could see that rubbing people the wrong way. Maybe that is the one. They're like, but he was so wrong.
Yeah, that it circled back around where you were rooting for him. So let's listen to T-Pain track. What have you chosen from the new album to start our playlist episode off with?
It's the one that I was the most excited to see. The one that made me want to do this album as an episode on Blanket and Covers. He did a version of War Pigs. So we're going to hear that.
Sick.
Are the levels good on that?
A little punchy, but...
The guitar on this song, when it really gets to it, is so good. Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches said, black masses, evil minds that plan destruction. Destruction in the fields, the bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning the brainwashed mind.
That organ is very R&B gospel.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple spots where, like, the whirly organ shows up in the album, and I'm like, oh, he knew I was going to do this. He knew when you're putting this on the show.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think it's a great cover, and I like when they try to, you know, break it up on a covers album. Like, it doesn't, looking at the track listing here, it's not anything you'd expect. There's a lot of diverse genres on this record, which that's what you gotta do, and then make it your fucking own, man.
That's the thing about it, is he doesn't really get too adventurous in, like, changing the songs themselves, but there's just something about him being the person doing it that makes them unique, and that's really cool. Like, because like, I'm I'm well versed in the world of covers at this point, going over a year of that other show. And like, so often, if people aren't adding things or changing things about a song, it's pretty boring. But for whatever reason with this one, it just still worked because like the way he was singing it.
That makes sense.
Because like arrangements were fairly different.
All right. Well, if we're gonna do that, originally War Pigs, just because I'm gonna like A to see it a little bit.
That's fine. Well, while you're talking, I'm gonna interject. For the people who don't know, the rules are
that was
my song. So now it's George's turn to pick a song that ties to that song in some way. The only thing he can't do is another version of War Pigs. So like he couldn't do the original Black Sabbath. He could not do another T-Pain song, and those both are out forever. Like, yeah, we can't do them again in the playlist anywhere. So if something ties back to War Pigs, we gotta find something else. Mm-hmm. So those are the rules. Anything goes except for those two rules.
So when I think War Pigs, because I've been trying to dive deeper into just different specific genres and playlisting them, just so I can kind of just absorb, you know, polishing an orb of a specific genre, just so I can kind of have a well-rounded understanding of it. And one of them recently was I tried to find songs that were that sort of early 90s, late 80s funk metal, but not always funk metal. And in doing so, doing my research, Faith No More covered War Pigs on,
yes, they have,
their album. And you know, instead of A and C-ing it, I'm gonna A and B it. And we're gonna do, I think, the most popular Faith No More song, which is Epic.
Epic.
Which it does. It sounds it. And I love that a man can have that much range in his vocal. I feel as if this genre is called like Power Rangers metal. Like,
it is such an easy song to kind of mock.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't have to know the words to be like, did it, bit it, did
yeah,
it, bit
I'm
it.
I'm surprised there isn't more like sketch comedy, like fake music video in the style of Epic. Like, what would the sketch be for Epic? Like, I know that show Horrible Histories, they do music videos based on historical figures. What's the historical figure that does the parody version of Epic?
Oh, now I feel like it's got to be like a Napoleon or somebody,
yeah,
who like tried to
or,
conquer
or
the
like,
world,
like Kublai Khan or something, or like,
yeah,
Genghis Khan or something. Like, yeah, that'd be fun.
Somebody with a sweeping domain.
Oh,
maybe like
you,
Alexander the Great.
They already. I was gonna suggest Alexander the Great, but Alexander the Great, pretty well done on their end. They did do a music video on that show for Alexander the Great, in the style of U2.
Oh, beautiful. What more could one ask for?
So, I did Epic, Faith No More. Danny, where does that take you?
You know, this is kind of a leap, but the first song that came to mind is one we were referencing a lot recently. I don't remember if we mentioned it on the show specifically, but it was the motivation for our Not Sean Howard episode. And it tells the story of the most epic of songs. It is Tenacious D's Tribute. I saw Sean Howard on Friday and he was like, I'll come back and do it. I'm like, okay, please.
please.
This is
our
fault. The greatest and best song in the world.
Tribute.
Tribute.
long time ago, me and my brother Kyle here. We was hitchhiking down a long and lonesome road. All of a sudden, there shined a shiny demon in the
whip crack
road.
And he said, "Play the best song in the world, or I'll eat your soul."
Well, me, I believe that's what demons sound like.
Yep, 100%. They sound like the singer of Faith No More.
Yeah. Play the best song in the world.
Great tune.
That's one of the best, like, joke songs I've ever heard. Yeah. It's like, it's not parody. It's just a bit. The whole song is a bit.
That's perfect. That's what you want.
Like, while also being a good song.
Yeah.
It's dynamic. It varies. It's really fun. And also, it's a joke.
All right, so I'm looking through. I want to find a really good one. I'm surprised I'm not finding it earlier. I don't want to do that song. Do I? Sorry, I'm talking to myself as well.
You are.
Does.
I'm not even participating.
You're not even participating. I am going through, and I was like, obviously, Jack Black, super musical knowledge, and anytime I think of Jack Black, I think of the movie High Fidelity.
Sure.
Which opens up the floodgates of song suggestions. So, like, what do I go with? Do I do the famous scene where he does Let's Get It On? Or
I would guess that that version itself is online
somewhere. I wouldn't doubt it. But I'm looking through the like soundtrack listing of that album, of that movie. There are so many great tracks on here. But what should we go with? I kind of, one of them that does pop up, and it's within a recent listen, so I'm gonna go with it. On the soundtrack to High Fidelity is the song The River by Bruce Springsteen. And I recently mistakenly put that on for one of my walks that I try to listen to three albums, not realizing that The River is a double album.
Yeah, so that's a lot of album.
Towards the end of that walk, I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to listen to anything more?
Just picking a new hill to climb. Like,
yeah.
Two more albums.
Jesus. So I just counted that one as two, and then I switched to Nebraska, which is my favorite Bruce Springsteen record.
That's a good choice. I like Darkness, but can't go wrong.
Yeah, just Nebraska, I think. The fact that people hated it when it came out.
That does help.
And then nobody wanted it to be released, and he was like, no, I promise, this will influence an entire genre of sad white men walking around.
Yeah, one day, a man will walk to this.
Well, no, he is the patron saint of walking around feeling sad. Like,
were you wearing a flannel?
No, I was wearing a giant parka because it was 32 degrees outside.
That's different time of year, same story.
Yeah, yep. But I'm going to do one of my favorite Bruce Springsteen tunes off of Nebraska, because it shouts out the town I went to college in. So we're going to do Johnny 99 off of Nebraska by Bruce Springsteen.
I was out on a St. Patrick's Day before our show, and there's like a little Irish pub place, and they were playing a very Irish singer version of I'm on Fire, and I was like, oh, okay.
Nice. in the beginning of the song. It's like when they closed the car plant in Mahwah, and the college I went to is based in Mahwah, New Jersey. But I don't know if there was ever a car plant there. I think he's just like combining Mahwah random shit together. When an off-duty cop snuck up on behind, out in front of the club tip top, slapped the cuffs on Johnny 99.
I don't know if I can do what I want to do next, because the person I was going to play seems to go in and out of favor on Spotify pretty frequently.
So it's Neil Young.
Oh, I wish. But no, it's Paul Baravow. He did a whole Springsteen covers album, but he just periodically is no longer
available
on Spotify. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. I have no idea. That's where I was gonna go first.
I mean, but listen, Springsteen is, we've talked about the phenomenon on the show a little bit of like, if Springsteen covers a song, it's undoubtedly a great tune that he covers. But if someone else covers a Springsteen song, 9 times out of 10 they outdo the original Springsteen song.
Oh yeah.
Like, I love Dancing in the Dark, but I feel things to Lucy Dacus's version of Dancing in the Dark. I love Streets of Philadelphia, but the Waxahachie version of Streets of Philadelphia is incredible. Like,
yo, yeah. Yeah, that's a great version. Yeah, there are so many good Springsteen covers.
Yeah, I think that's a testament to songwriting on his end of just like, you can just little by little add some cool stuff to a Springsteen track and really enhance it, but keep the emotion behind it. And it's always solid.
Like, I mean, think about how many like just great versions of Atlantic City there are. And that song's kind of goofy. Like, it doesn't need to have emotion. It's a good song, but like, it's nothing super special.
And then you listen to the
other
band
versions,
play it.
You're like, oh no, it's actually really good.
Yeah. Like, you listen to the band and Levon Helm sing it, and you're like, this is a better version. This is their version now. Like,
they shouldn't have blown up that Chicken Man.
They shouldn't have. Actually, you live right near the Chicken Man's house.
Yeah, very far.
I've been to it. I figured it out, and I took a picture in front of it for Instagram, because I used to do these like mini history lessons on Instagram stories. And one of them was just like, this was the Chicken Man's house. On the pillar outside the house, it is still pockmarked from the nail bomb that went off in front
of
it. Yeah, it's kind of gnarly. It's in that little nice neighborhood when you go all the way down Oregon. It's like the Girard area. It's like one of the houses towards the end of the street, right next to where like the Planet Fitness and that Wendy's is at the end of Oregon. And it's the only house that hasn't been like redone or kept up. It's kind of like the Amityville Horror House, where like it's the only house on the street that doesn't look quite good, because obviously that you can get the Amityville Horror House on the cheap when they put it up for sale. Same sort of thing. Is a nail bomb went off in front of this house. Structurally, it's fine. I'm just letting you know that a man died as he walked through the door every time. Yeah.
Very famously dead guy.
Yeah.
But I have a bit of a leap, I guess, between the two. The connection.
Are you gonna Dua Lipa? And then we play a song clip of Dua Lipa.
That'd be really fun. First one that comes to mind is that Elton John one, though, and I'm like, that's not the one I want.
No.
But the connection is the Johnny part. That's the straightforward connection. The reason I'm picking this is, as you were talking out the High Fidelity thing, I was looking at the High Fidelity soundtrack, trying to get ahead of it.
Really good soundtrack.
You would say whatever it was, and I would just be like, oh, I'm already there. I can slide it right in. And then you changed it. But I was looking at the soundtrack, and Love is on there. Alone Again Or is on the High Fidelity soundtrack. I was like, I would love to play Love. Didn't get me there. You didn't You didn't give me the opportunity.
Does that mean that I get to, if you're using this as your reasoning, that means I get to play Beep Beep by Love later, and that's my favorite Stone song.
Well, what I am going to do, because the connection now is Johnny and Johnny Ramone.
There you go.
I am playing their version of 7 and 7 Is.
Let's do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ramones, so good. I used to have a really cool Ramones poster on my wall, where it was like a wanted poster of all four members, but it was in Spanish, because it was like a poster for like Argentinian fans and South American fans.
Does it say Peligro on it? I think I've seen that one.
I believe so. And it was like neon pink and yellow instead of like a normal wanted sign. It's a cool poster, man. I miss that. I miss finding cool posters.
Right. There was a ska band in my area growing up that was named the Spanish word for danger. Like, not Peligro, just the Spanish word for danger.
I like that a lot.
They were good, too. They were really good.
There was a ska band that I grew up watching at. It was like a yearly festival in our friend's garage called Scobie Fest.
Okay.
And they would invite all the bands out. Like, they would drive out and play this dude's garage, and there's a ska band, and I think closer to the same vein as like Streetlight Manifesto, and maybe it's the term manifesto that makes me think that, but they were called Marx Revolution.
Love it.
And their big hit, quote unquote hit, that everyone, they would close every show with, and they'd be like, let's fucking go. I want to see all of you in the pit right now. Is they would cover the Power Rangers theme song.
That is the most ska thing I've ever heard.
I wonder if they've been uploaded to Revolution. Next Revolution.
It's really making me type in every single. There really is.
There's a lot that comes up, and they're all podcasts.
I'm going to see if a Spanish word for danger is on here.
Let's try and find it.
I don't think they are. They lost the ska piece at one point and became Prize Fight, and they were also really good.
That's cool. Wait. Maybe it's somewhere else. Marx Revolution Power Rangers theme.
Cheech Marin comes up when I search for a Spanish word for danger.
That's great.
The band Danger Danger comes up.
Danger Danger. Nah, it's lost to time. It was in a world before you could just upload songs. I'm sure it's on someone's hard drive somewhere, but Marx Revolution is great. Anyway, we're talking Ramones. We're talking punk times. If I think of the Ramones, my brain goes a couple different ways, which is why we're going to play T.D. King Funky. No, we're not going to do that.
That would be wonderful.
Oh, man, what a terrible mistake.
He did a really good job.
I mean, all of his friends were like, I'm proud of you, D.D. Yeah.
You set your mind to something and you completed it.
I like,
that's all
I like
I'm
going to
say.
All right. Doing Ramones, I don't want to do something too easy. Wait, who's saying? This is gonna be a leap. I wanna check something real quick.
You can do U2's new version of Ballad of Johnny Ramone.
No thanks.
Or Joey Ramone? Is it Joey Ramone? I forget which Ramone the song title is.
Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm really gonna throw us out of here. It's popped up a couple times on the internet. So this is a it's an internet track.
Okay.
But when I think of the Ramones, I like their solo careers. I think their solo careers are very fun and weird. And Joey Ramone had a great one where he covered What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. And for some reason, this song has come up because a person has covered with lyrics in English a version of La Vie en Rose, which was originally recorded. I don't think originally recorded, but the artist's name is Emily Watts. And she does a sort of like bedroom acoustic version of La Vie en Rose. That's beautiful. And I think it's very fun that we're going from Ramones to like Starbucks music, but it's a lovely cover.
Comes in slowly.
Hold me closer, hold me fast. This magic spell you cast, this is La Vie en Roses. When you kiss me, heaven sighs, and though I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Roses. When you press me to your heart, I'm in a world apart, a world of roses bloom. And when you speak, angels sing from above. Every day words seem to turn into love songs. Give your heart and soul to me, and life will always be loving.
Just felt like we needed to take a minute.
That was lovely.
It was just lovely, right?
Now I'm going to the connection.
How are we gonna get this to Weird Al?
You're just gonna have to go with me on the connection. the main point of the connection is Marion Cotillard.
Okay.
She won the Oscar for playing Edith Piaf, who is the person who sang La Vie en Rose.
Yes. Also, I don't know if we talked about it, but Daddy Fraser got an Oscar, baby.
Oh, that's right. That happened after we recorded last
baby.
Week.
Baby.
We are directly responsible for the Oscar winning comeback.
Brendan Fraser. I don't know if there's a video of it. Casey said she took it, but I don't know what happened to it. Of us like waiting to hear they'd say Brendan Fraser's name, and I whipped a pillow across the room when they said Brendan Fraser.
That's
I scared the dog. And
We might need that for the promo.
I think I said that, and then I shouted at the top of my lungs, "He won the best actor because he is the best actor."
That's amazing.
So where are we going? I'm following. Marion Cotillard.
Marion Cotillard, the person famous for her twist in the Batman series, going from good guy to the baddest of the bad guys. So we're going from La Vie en Rose to Batman and Robin Over the Roofs by Sun Ra.
Cool.
Yes, I do own this on vinyl.
Yeah.
You get it. It's jazz. Sun Ra rules. Sun Ra, like, apparently wasn't even supposed to play on that originally. Like, it was the other people, and then he became involved, and, like, his name is the one attached to it, like, entirely now.
That's fantastic. All right, should we take a quick break? Are we at break time right now?
Let's see. Yeah, now's a good time.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If Elvis and Buddy Holly are the Cain and Abel of rock and roll, Bruce Springsteen is Zachariah, Iggy Pop is Methuselah, of course, Neil Young is the wise prophet Ezekiel, what does that make Get in the Garage?
Well, I think that makes Get in the Garage the one-stop shop for all know-how, history, countdowns, disagreements, agreements, and pretty much everything that you want to hear about music.
Get in the Garage.
Get in the Garage.
A music program. From the Wasted Robot Network.
I was just learning to love.
Hey everyone, Danny here with plugs. I don't remember if we talked about it on this show or not, but George has another edition of Wheel coming up. Check that out. All that stuff will be shared on his Instagram, among other places. That show is always a fun time. Come on, hang out with all of us. Also, check out Blanket and Covers. We talk about it a bit on the episode also, but that comes out every other Wednesday. So go check that out. George and I are at Feel Feelings Pod on all the places. You can like, share, rate, review, all that stuff. Tell a friend, spread the word, reach out. And I believe that's it for the week. Back to the show.
And we're back. Thank you so much for waiting. Unless you actually need something.
No, we're good. Let's go.
Okay. That Sun Ra,
Dan and Dale, Batman and Robin.
Yeah, all fun stuff.
So many chances to get back to you two today. I'm just saying.
We'll get there. We'll get there eventually. But I do want to play.
Songs of Surrender just came out.
I have been listening to this record a lot, and when I think of Sun Ra and jazz records like that, I think a lot about sampling. And when I think about sampling and things being caught in sampling hell, De La Soul has reemerged on the streaming services.
I've listened to it so much.
It's so good. It's so good. And we've even added a song to the wedding playlist because I think it's cute. And it's the one, the boys at Get in the Garage, we're talking about this a little bit, where one person is specifically credited for their sample. Meanwhile, the rest of the song is a bigger sample than what they used, but they don't get the same accreditation on it. So the song is I Know, and it's credited as De La Soul and Otis Redding because they use the whistle sample. But that song, according to the boys over at Get in the Garage, is just Peg by Steely Dan. Like, the whole backing track
okay,
is
yeah,
just
I wouldn't
Peg.
Pull that one. I don't know Steely Dan.
Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world of phrases.
This song's on the wedding playlist now. It's like cute songs that we like for when people are eating and stuff.
Hip-hop love this is, and don't mind when I put your involvements before the sun. But clear your court, cause this a one-man sport, and who's better for this than Plugged One? Don't have to worry about me squashing other deals, cause they've already been squished. Freeze the frame of our moves the same, wish we can continue right behind the bush. You'll stay with me, I know this, but not because of all my earth. Treasures are regardless to the fact that I'm past the noose, but because
I'm so happy that they're on streaming. It is so disappointing that that's what my life has come to, that like I just don't have the things I love unless it's given to me the easy way. But I'm so happy that they're on streaming again. Yeah. Like,
but how funny is that track where it's like, you know, there are so many other samples. The clearance of samples for that album has become a real hindrance and why it's crazy that it's available now. But Otis Redding gets a full credit for the part, but like the entire rest of the song is a Steely Dan tune, and they're just like, yeah, yeah, take it, whatever, just like, you know, pay us a little bit, no big deal. And then Otis, the estate of Otis Redding is like, we are co-writers.
Well, it's like doing the T-Pain album, since he did Stay With Me, there's a credit to Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne because nice. They got credit for Don't Back Down. It's like, wait, really? It's like T-Pain has to also give credit to yeah. Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne.
Same sort of thing with guy wrote Ghostbusters. We're like, Huey Lewis Ray Parker, gets yeah. all the money from that, or at least has up until recently.
And then yeah, Ray Parker I love that story because like they asked him to write the song and then he was like, no. So then the person that they hired just wrote a Huey Lewis song.
I want a new truck. Now, also, great parody of that. I don't know if it's on Spotify, but the Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good Ghostbusters parody. Mwah. It's just it's just them going, Bustin', 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 Bustin',
oh, yeah, Bustin' I have heard
Makes
that.
Me Feel Good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, the next one I'm going to do here, it's a very direct connection from De La Soul to this one. It's Prince Paul, DJ, the guy who, responsible for all of the reasons that they are not easy to find, but also the reason that they're so good. Prince Paul, he is also part of Grave Diggers, which is early in the existence of horror rap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Monster Trucks.
Yeah, Grave it Digger. Is... It is, actually, you know what, I was going to do, give me a second, I need to think about which one I wanted.
Okay.
I'm going to do Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide. It's not the most famous, but it's really good. From the mist of the darkness, I come with this. It is straight to the chest like a primary mist. Resurrector, yeah, the fanatical type. I'm like a bat in the night when it's time to take flight. Here I am in the flesh, and yes, I love cess. I'm obsessed by the sounds the track possess. Intellectual, killer, special, majestical. Open up the devil's, have them hanging for my testicles. No way to run to, baby.
Yeah,
Grave Diggers is really fun. There was a Open Mike Eagle podcast where he just went through album by album of Prince Paul's career with Prince Paul. And he gets to this one and he's like, yeah, people, I guess, just weren't ready for it. Because, like, it was, like, RZA and, like, all these people who had followings in hip-hop, but not in, like, this kind of character world of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And everybody just wanted straightforward and they were doing bits and, like, it's really kind of gruesome and grotesque, but as like a horror movie, not as like a real life thing. And it's really interesting listen. Really good.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to do, I'm gonna tank the podcast again. And we've talked about this musical project before, and it makes me smile every time, specifically because of the story. But if we're talking horror hip hop or horror rap, we're going to talk horror punk. And so I want to play a song not by the Misfits. I want to play a song by Misfits Meet the Nutley Brass, specifically Last Caress. Do you remember about this at all?
I think so.
So quick story time for those who haven't. Don't play the song yet.
Okay.
Because I want to make the thing. It'll be Last Caress by Misfits Meet the Nutley Brass. I started listening to the Misfits because someone's older brother told me to start listening to the Misfits. I now have a Misfits tattoo on my arm. I love the Misfits, despite how problematic those men may be.
Yeah.
And in doing so, I went to go, and the song that my friend's brother showed me was Last Caress, because he was like, look how fucked up this song is. That's crazy.
So dark.
So dark and fucking crazy. And so I, when my dad had me on that weekend, went to the store. It was a Best Buy. And went through to the Misfits section to see okay, well, I should learn more about the Misfits. I'll get an album. And this album happened to have the song Last Caress on the first track. And I went, this is it. It's got the song that I know. It's the first song. This must be the album. And it was this album. And it sounded like this. It's a covers album of lounge music.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're real instruments. They must be all MIDI instruments. These are all fake, rudimentary instruments. And I remember like getting on the bus and be like, sick, Misfits, I'm so punk. And then this happened, I could be like, something is gone horribly wrong. But the CD came with a little coaster with the album art on it, and I thought that was cool. So that was on my wall for years, was this like Misfits coaster of a lounge band doing Misfits covers. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows the Misfits, but do you want to play just a quick clip of the actual Last Caress song? Because this is what was it was supposed to sound like. I just imagined my disappointment.
Yeah, that is kind of fun, though.
There's a Tig Notaro joke, a very similar experience, where, like, she brought in a CD for her classmate that was bullying her and said that, like, the classmate knew that she liked good music. And when they said, like, bring in a song, the kid asked her, like, what's a cool song? And she said, well, you can't always get what you want by the Rolling Stones. But didn't tell him about the, like, child choir at the beginning of Can't Get What You Want.
Yeah,
so all they heard was the child choir. And then the teacher cut it off and went, all right, thank you so much for bringing that song in.
That's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I have so many options. The first one that jumped to mind was Last Resort. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put Last Resort on our playlist.
Cut my life into pizzas. This is my grocery store.
What I am going to do, I'm going to, not a massive shift, but I'm going to do The Monkees' Last Train to Clarksville.
I love this tune. Arguably of the same era of lounge music.
Yeah. The Monkees are a very easy band to, like, accidentally listen to for hours.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, wait, I'm still here. Oh. All right, Last Train to Clarksville. You are
great tune. Great tune. I'm trying to see if this counts. Hold on.
I'm not gonna hold your feet to the flame on it.
Well, no, it's a little. Is that them, though? Is this Mickey Dolenz and everybody?
Could be.
I, I just have to check. No, it's them. Never mind. you know what? I'll do it this way because I like the tune. And I feel like I've been aiming for a lot of covers. I think that was sort of... I didn't mean to do this ethos, but I kind of did. But what I'm going to do is talk about Late Monkeys, specifically the 1987 album, which I thought was the New Monkeys, but I guess it is still them. Like it is.
It's
still
basically the
Monkeys.
Yeah, yeah. We've done a couple Monkeys things. We've done I'm a Believer, and we've done Stepping Stone. Mm-hmm. So I'm well aware of the
You're
versions
well
of the Monkeys.
Monkeys
at this point.
But I will do this because I like this version. Just it's a little bit more polished, and it's more relevant to a modern standing. But on the Monkeys' 1987 comeback album, Pool It, they cover "I'd Go the Whole Wide World."
Oh, I love their version.
Yeah, that you like that version? Well, we can't do the Monkees.
Yeah, that's out.
That's out. But
are we
I do
going
know
Reckless Eric.
we can do Reckless Eric, or I really liked Billy Joe Armstrong's version that he did during the pandemic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I thought he did a really cool pop rock power pop album of covers. So let's do that one. Let's do the Billy Joe Armstrong one.
Why is it being so? There we go. They wanted me to type the whole thing.
When I was a young boy, my mama said to me, there's only one girl in the world for you. She probably lives in Tahiti. I call the whole wild world, I call the whole wild world just to find out.
Yeah, the Monkees version is like so good, and there's a handful of like really good songs in a row on that album that like it's a great like windows down sunny day album,
which is fun because you know a group of men that probably shouldn't have had a career at that point.
Yeah.
There's a couple cool tracks on this album.
This is the collection of all of them afterwards, right?
Yeah.
This is that album? Yeah.
Yeah, they did. He did, I Think We're Alone Now. He did a bunch of, like, very obscure punk records as well.
I Think We're Alone Now that you can hear on the first episode of Blanket and Cover.
It's beautiful. What was that? What's the guy's name again?
Tommy James.
Tommy James. And the Shondells? No, that's a different person.
No, that's right.
Shondells?
Yeah.
Right on. Oh, that reminds me of something, but I don't know if we'll get back to it. But what are you thinking of after The Whole Wide World?
Well, I've been teasing it a lot throughout this whole episode.
Or we got there?
And I mean, we've gotten there so many times and I've just ignored it. But now it's fallen right into my lap, and I'm going to have to do it just on the sake of paying off a bit before I don't want it to be the end. So we're not there yet. So I get to do this and then we get to salvage what's left after.
Right.
But U2 put out an acoustic album of all of their greatest hits. It's like four albums long. I didn't listen to it because it's what I just described, but this is a song I love and I haven't heard it yet, but it is their Songs of Surrender version of With or Without You.
And this is the connection because they did that song together?
Yep. Saints yep. or whatever.
the saints are coming.
See the stones sit in your eyes. Am I such a thorn in your side? Should I wait?
Should have picked a song that was faster before to see if they really varied.
That's good.
Slide but I still like this song.
And then a twist of fate on a bed of nails. You make
with all without you.
That's one of those songs that it feels like it knows it has the potential to be creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not proud of itself.
Yeah, no. Every breath you take territory.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, I'm gonna
Yeah, we finally did it. We don't have to do it anymore. You so many connections to you two on this episode, and we had to do
it. She's great. Were you a Scrubs person? Did you like Scrubs?
Yeah, in and out. Never consistently.
There was an episode where like Elliot's doing her CD collection, and she goes, "I love you too," as her boyfriend at the time is walking away, and he goes, "Oh, I love you too." And walk away, and then they realize that, like, oh, I didn't mean to say I love you. I was just talking about the band. And it's this whole, like, debacle in the episode. And I don't know why, but my brain always overrides any U2 music knowledge with that episode of Scrubs.
All I can ever think of when someone makes a reference to the music on Scrubs is when he's like, "This is how my heart would sound if it could sing." And he's talking about Dido.
So what I'm going to do for this track, I had a good one. Hold on. We were talking about you two, with or without you. There's a podcast I love to listen to called No Dogs in Space that talks about the history of different bands and artists. They've done everything from like the Replacements to Patti Smith to
Joy Division, who you can hear on Blanket and Cover.
Exactly. And actually, I'm going to go with Joy Division on this because there is a U2 connection to Joy Division. Apparently, later on in Joy Division's career is very early on in U2's career. And after the death of Ian Curtis, Bono went over to Peter Hook and went, "Don't worry, boys, I'll carry the torch for you guys," in very Bono fashion.
And New Order was like, fuck off.
But I don't want to do... I personally like old... Joy Division. I've been on a real old school punk kick, so let's just do Warsaw when they were a punk band and not a new wave band.
I was there in the backstage when this light came around. I grew up not a changeling. First time around, I could see all the weakness, I could pick all the faults, but I could see all the faintness, just a stick in your throat. P1G. Hung around in your soundtrack to mirror all that you've done.
So about a little bit about the song, a lot of punk bands during this time period, I guess because it was just a little bit past the time for it. So people borrowed a lot of Nazi iconography and stuff for their bands. I don't know why it became a thing. It definitely was more of a British thing. And I think that had to do with confronting that at a certain level to be contrarian, to sort of be...
It's as it is now, it's like the easy step to be like, I'm not participating in your society.
Yeah. But I always loved this clip. They play it on No Dogs when they're talking about it, but they would play this song called Warsaw. And before they started playing it at one point, Bernard, the guitarist for Joy Division, tried to sound real punk. And shouted into the microphone before the song without prompting anybody, quote, "That you forgot about Rudolf Hess, who was a Nazi war criminal that escaped persecution for many, many years." And it's great if you listen to the clip, because you can hear him shout that and the rest of the band try to figure out what's happening. So there's like this there's this beat where he goes, "You forgot about Rudolf Hess. 1, 2, 3, 4
That
and just the entire band
so
goes
funny.
I don't know what to do now. He said a thing.
That's awesome. And then he went on to make Bizarre Love Triangle.
Right.
Great song.
Great tune. Love New Order.
Now I'm very happy with the connection I'm about to make. It's a good music knowledge connection, and it's also, I said I was done with you two.
But here we are.
But I found another way. Ian Curtis. There's a movie about Ian Curtis's life called Control.
Which I have yet to see, but I've heard really good things about that movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either because I know start to finish it's just going to be very depressing.
Yeah.
So like I have to be in a headspace for it. Same as like when I'm listening to Joy Division, you have to be in the headspace and then it's great.
That's kind of why I went with early Joy Division when they were more punk and it wasn't so deeply emotional.
So another person who has had a movie made about their life is Weird Al.
You're really proud of this, aren't you?
Yeah, because I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm also doing Weird Al. So it is Cavity Search, which is the parody of Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me, the U2 song I was referencing earlier with the Batman.
Scream, sitting in the waiting room, reading crappy magazines with a toothache. This is it, pal. Root canal. My molars are impacted.
Fucking Weird Al.
Definitely one of those songs that I knew before I really knew the original.
Yeah. Oh man, that's great. Where do I go from Weird Al? It's tough to top that.
So we are in you have two left. After this one we will be in less song territory.
Okay. Well, if we're doing Weird Al, who has covered everybody.
Yeah, you have a lot of choices to make here.
You know what? Just because I want to get it stuck in everyone's head, I don't even know the name of this song. But Weird Al, famous for covering Madonna and doing Like a Surgeon, but also featured heavily in the movie is Evan Rachel Wood playing Madonna.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the name of the song, but I went through a phase a couple weeks ago before the Super Bowl happened, where I just watched all of the halftime shows.
Okay,
just like in rapid succession.
So you watched the U2 one, of course.
I watched the U2 one. Great one. But the one that I watched and was like, I forgot about this song. And I swear to God, it's just taken up so much space in my brain. I don't know what it's called, but it's the Madonna song where she goes, "You are the Madonna."
Oh, I have no idea. All right. Let's see. I'll Google that.
Madonna,
you must love me, you can dance. What were the words?
Give me 1 second. Madonna Super Bowl playlist or set list. Give me all your loving, maybe.
Let's try it.
L U
found it.
Me, Madonna.
I feel like this song also sold many a Kia Sonata.
Oh, yeah.
Or, does Kia make Sonatas?
Hyundai Sonata.
Hyundai Sonata.
Kia and Hyundai, Sorento. Same company.
That is going on the Toyotathon playlist. Hold on. But yeah, that song, it's very much an earworm.
Oh, yeah. Now, somebody features prominently on that is most famously known for Paper Planes.
Mm-hmm.
It's M.I.A.
Mm-hmm.
I was introduced to M.I.A. slightly before that. She had a couple albums out that were, like, critically celebrated, but my uncle liked to kind of try this album out. It was like his Christmas present every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the one year was Arular, her album, I guess it was 2005. Yeah, 2005.
How old's your uncle that he's got cool taste in music?
Oh, he's my mom's second oldest sibling. So, like,
no kid.
So he's paying more attention music than you'd expect. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one who got me into Prince and the Replacements and, like, Pavement and all that stuff.
Right on.
But I'm gonna play the song Galang. I don't know how to say any of these.
Gulang.
Arular, Gulang. I don't know. But I like the song a lot.
London calling, speak the slang now, boy say what, go on, girl say what, what? London calling, speak the slang now, boy say what, go on, girl say what, what? Slam, galang, 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 shock gun, get down, 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 too late, you down, dun, 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 dun.
All the other right thing he gave me one year was Portugal the Man, which was like right before their like big break album came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I mean, the one that broke them, so that's so good. I love that album a lot. But like hearing the one before it, I was like, I don't think I'm that interested in this band. And then like the next one came out and I was like, no, I knew them before. I'm cool. I knew them.
Yeah, they're a band. They have a guitarist that's wheelchair bound, correct?
Portugal the Man?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I only know the songs.
I believe that's the band, but they're from Alaska, right?
I honestly know their music.
I believe it's one of those bands. I may be confusing too, like indie rock bands, but I believe it's Portugal the Man. Their guitarist is wheelchair bound.
Yes, they do have a guy in a wheelchair. Yes.
Yeah, and and it's not funny, but...
And yes, they are from Alaska. You were right on both counts.
I'm so smart. I'm full of useless information. In doing so, there's like a clip of them playing at some sporting event, or maybe it was some sort of commercial, and I saw the guitarist sitting down and went like, well, this motherfucker can't even stand up to play guitar. This is bullshit. And I said that out loud before someone came over and was like, he's in a wheelchair, you dumbass.
It's a real FDR situation.
Yeah. But that just always reminds me of that. With Portugal, a bit of me shaming someone. Well,
so yeah, MIA, what's your last entry.
I thought this was a cool thing because I have been not avoiding this entire playlist, not putting them, but they've been my U2 throughout this playlist where I could have made a connection to them at several points during the show. But I really want to do this because of two references that I know of MIA. One, in this song, she says London Calling, and her famous song Paper Planes sample Straight to Hell by The Clash.
A lot of things sample Straight to Hell. We're gonna do an episode of that on
that's great.
Covers. Yeah.
But I wanna do what's a fun one? You know what? We're gonna end it with this one because I feel like it's an underrated Clash tune on London Calling. It was in DDR for some reason. One of the DDRs had this track. But we're going to listen to Hateful by The Clash off of London Calling. That's my last choice.
Same uncle gave me this album.
What you got? I need it all so badly.
I forget how good that album is sometimes. And it's just, I feel like I do it to myself so that I can go back and like relive hearing it. Like,
I know this sentence doesn't make sense, but I feel like this record is so overrated that when you listen to it, you realize how underrated it is.
It is a very weird territory of like,
yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's the one of the best records of all time, it's one of the most important records of all time, like it's such a good record, and then you're like, okay, whatever, fine, yeah, no, like I'm gonna go listen to Sandinistas because I'm better than you, and yeah. then you come back to London Calling and you're like, fuck, this is a really good record.
Why did I spend all this time with Give Them Enough Rope?
Oh man, no, it's I think it's a perfect record. I think it's a
perfect record. There is not a miss on here, and each one, it's like you can see why it's influential in punk, but it's not punk.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's a very strange territory that it walks, and like not a lot of people who were like influenced by it, like quote unquote, sound anything like it actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone says like, oh, one of my biggest influences is The Clash. But like the amount of records that I looked at the liner notes at as a kid and saw The Clash as one of their influences or Special Thanks, and it's like not like they were within the punk world at least, but like not what you'd expect. Like,
yeah,
I think on every Flogging Molly record they say they love The Clash. On every Anti-Flag record they say they love The Clash, and like
they love the Clash. Yeah.
But you know, they're not doing reggae. They're not bringing things together. They're politically charging their lyrics, but only just so. Like,
I mean, even those bands, I think like the only real sonic connection is like, oh, we do this type of music, but have an acoustic guitar.
someone was playing a clip of Flogging Molly. I think they were playing out in LA, like for St. Patrick's Day or something, and it's very fun to just see their singer, I forget his name, I used to know it, something King, he's like
a track once, it was really good.
He's just not an old man at this point, but he doesn't care anymore. Like, he's wearing a green Guinness t-shirt to their big St. Patrick's Day celebration show, and he's like, why the fuck would I care, we all know what you're here. Yeah. Oh man, well that's the playlist. I think we did it. I think we did good. I hope you guys like it as well. Follow, rate, subscribe. I don't know what I'm doing.
Do all the things. Tell us you like us.
Please. We need
okay,
it.
Bye.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FeelFeelingsPod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/FeelFeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
Lord, such a professional show!